Well, welcome to another episode of Undone Redone, the podcast where we're talking about real life, real issues, relationship, marriage, parenting, and our faith, and what it looks like to flesh this stuff out day to day. My name is Melody, and I'm here with my husband, Trey.
Hey, guys.
And today we're going to be talking about expectations. We're going to be talking about expectations as it relates to relationships as well as marital. And we're going to talk a little bit. We could probably spend hours and hours talking about expectations, but we're going to kind of talk about three expectations that lead to marital frustration. And sometimes when we're not voicing these expectations, it leads to a lot more than just frustration, bitterness, dissatisfaction, resentment, and all those types of things. So we want to kind of go into that, talking a little bit. We're gonna mention a movie in just a few minutes, but we really want to kind of talk about expectations and the frustrations that can lead to those when we're not communicating about those expectations, or even if it's okay to have those expectations.
Yeah, let's go ahead and throw those out there, what they are, because in talking about the show, I mean, only three. There's a ton of expectations out there. We're kind of taking and honing in on three of those today. So let's just kind of put those out. I think the first expectation that many people enter a marriage relationship, my spouse should complete me. The second we'll deal with today is that marriage should not be an ongoing struggle. It shouldn't be this hard. We knew it wasn't going to be easy necessarily, but it shouldn't be this hard. And the third expectation we'll dive into is that my spouse needs to see the world exactly as I see it. Mm-hmm. And as we spend a lot of our time coaching couples, usually when they find us in our ministry, they're in some type of crisis. I think these are the primary things that we see, that these expectations are there, they're present, and often go unnamed. And then because they're unnamed, it's unchallenged, because these are just assumed that these are the right expectations. And when that goes unmet, then there's frustration.
Well, Trey, let me ask you this. Is it even okay to enter into a relationship or into a marriage? Is it okay to even have an expectation? Is that okay?
I think expectations are okay. It's just being able to really communicate those expectations, making sure that we're not assuming things about the relationship without naming those expectations. And I think that's where we get in trouble. And I think it's easy to really buy in to some of these and just say, okay, this must be true, because everybody's kind of talking about it as if it's true. But then we get into relationships and we get into marriage, and maybe 5, 6, 7 year mark, we start really seeing some resentments possibly building up. And what we want to do today is just really, let's go in and kind of really challenge maybe our presupposition to see maybe if the belief that we started with may be a little bit flawed and was off a little bit.
I remember one time a counselor said, and this was, you know, obviously after we divorced, but I remember her saying one time, keeping the expectations at the baseboards.
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, I think for us, we had a lot of high expectations. Mm-hmm. We were performing and trying to look good on the outside for everybody and having this pristine reputation. And there was a lot of expectations. But certainly in our relationship, all the expectations that we look back and now can name, they were unnamed. That we kind of brought them into our relationship. They were there. They definitely were affecting the way we did life together, but we didn't really put them into words. And that's, I think, when it really gets dangerous.
Well, and I think for us too, we had so many expectations on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, how could we not have them for each other? Because we had such high expectations of ourselves about what we needed to be doing and what we needed to be for each other and all that. So that put a lot of undue pressure on ourselves.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive into the first expectation. My spouse should complete me. Mm-hmm. We've kind of been living life single. Now I'm married and I've picked this perfect guy or girl, and it's really their job, you know, to quote unquote complete me.
Right. And it reminds me of the movie Jerry Maguire, you know, where Tom Cruise is coming into the room and he's talking about having a big, huge night with his company. And he starts talking about the night was not complete because basically she wasn't there. He couldn't share that moment with her. He couldn't hear her voice. He couldn't laugh with her about it. And basically, you know, he says, "You complete me." And I remember everybody that was probably watching that movie at that time, any woman that was, you know, eyes fixed on that movie, just probably was like, ah, you know, and really buying into that, yeah, the guy does complete the woman. Almost like there's this puzzle piece that's out there. And, you know, for me, that puzzle piece that's missing now has that person's name on it. And that extra puzzle piece is now in the middle or wherever on that puzzle. And the puzzle is now complete.
Yeah. And that this first expectation, I mean, there's so much behind this. Mm-hmm. And when we buy into this and we say, and we really believe this to be true, that somehow, some way, our spouse is supposed to come through for us and really make life work for us. Man, there's so much, so many expectations that even flow out of this main one. But, you know, Jerry Maguire, it was a TV, made for movie, made for the big screen type moment. It's all dramatic. You know, it's like that romantic focus. And it's easy to walk away, even as believers, saying, yes, that's the way relationships are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We saw it, you know, in the movie Jerry Maguire. I call that the Jerry Maguire syndrome, because so many of the couples that we work with, it's kind of that is a subtle lie that they've bought into, that my spouse should be coming through for me. They're not, therefore, I'm frustrated and you need to fix them so that they will start coming through for me.
Well, and just touching, you know, looking back at last week, we kind of talked a little bit about this, you know, the woman wants to be the beauty. She wants to be rescued, you know, but complete means, you know, if I'm living out of that expectation of my husband has to complete me, then I'm never really my own entity. I'm never really my own person unless he's around.
Well, and just that, again, you just said it, that word complete, and that's final. That's I'm done. I am, you know, to this finished state, so to speak. And I guess what the underlying assumption of this expectation is, that it's possible, you know, for my spouse, because that basically assumes, let's say, for you completing me, if I really bought into that expectation and that lie, that assumes that I can put into words all my deep, dark needs and those desires that right now I can't put into words, but let's assume that I could. And even if I could do that, that then assumes that you are equipped to meet those needs, which is also untrue. And so here we have, and I know for me, the first 11 years of our marriage before our divorce, there was a part of me that had convinced myself I didn't have needs, but yet passive aggressively, I was trying to get you to meet these needs. Mm-hmm. And it was just a real, real messed up situation, you know, all the way around.
Well, and I also think about the word, you know, if my expectation is you complete me, then I'm feeling, I mean, when I think about the opposite word of complete, now I'm incomplete. I don't even like that word. I mean, that takes me back to school. If I didn't finish a task or I didn't complete a homework assignment and you get a big old red eye, does, you know, everywhere I go, if that person is not with me, making me feel complete, then I'm walking around incomplete. That I don't even like the feeling of that.
Yeah. Well, let's say even the draw of this, you know, expectation. Let's say you've got a couple, they're engaged, they're kind of going through their courtship and they decide they do want to get married. Maybe somewhere in the guy's psyche, he wants to be the savior. You know, there's something that's validating and affirming about, you know, her needing him to be a savior. And then somewhere in this girl, this young lady, she's wanting to be rescued. She's wanting a guy to come through for her. Mm-hmm. And so they both kind of buy into this expectation that my spouse should complete me, you know, coming right off the Jerry Maguire screen. And then they don't challenge that. They continue into marriage. And very soon they can get to a place where there's some deep resentments beginning to really foster and to bubble up. I had a guy that I was coaching recently who he said this. He used this illustration, which I think is fitting. He said, "I feel like we're floating in the ocean," and they were in a major crisis point, you know, looking like possibly a divorce. He said, "But I feel like we're in the middle of the ocean. And I'm this life raft holding both of us up, and the life raft starts leaking. And rather than helping me blow it back up and keep it afloat, I feel like my spouse in her anxiety of the air coming out, she's been flailing at me, only making the air come out faster.
Right.
And so she's resenting now that he's not coming through for her and no longer being that savior. He's come to the point years ago that he could not do that. And now is at a place where he's resenting that she needs him to be that. And so both of them now, these deep resentments that have now been festering for years. And now when I'm starting to talk to him after being married for 19 years, they're at a crisis point. Mm-hmm. And until they go back and begin to really unpack that faulty expectation from the beginning, which again was very appealing to both of them because mm-hmm. he initially had a need to be a savior. But then when he realized he could not meet all of her needs, he began to resent that. But they never challenged the basic expectation of what they were doing.
I'm also thinking about the woman. If a husband or somebody in you're in relationship with, if they can come through for you every single time that you're feeling the need to be rescued, my thought is what kind of deep insecurities are left in the woman mm-hmm. because he's coming through for her.
Yeah.
You know, part of being able to handle conflict or to move through a stressful situation is to gain some confidence to be able to know that you can do it again.
Yeah.
So if every single time I'm looking to be rescued from a situation and that doesn't take place, there's some insecurities that I ever can do this by myself.
Sure.
You know, I remember one time, you know, after you and I were divorced, Trey, I was in a relationship with a guy and I was kind of beginning to get that I can do this, you know, that God is writing my story, that, you know, I'm an individual and that I can make life work. I can make it work. But I got into a relationship with a guy and he, right off the bat, I could tell he was kind of the rescue. He wanted to be a hero. He wanted to be the rescuer and all that type of thing. And I would say many, many times, I don't need to be in relationship with you. I want to be in relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And so that obviously didn't work out because he needed to be needed.
Yeah.
He didn't need to be wanted. He wanted to come in. That's where he really shined.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you were in relationship with somebody out of neediness instead of wanting to be in a relationship, you can really start off the bat with a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah, because baseline of that is selfishness, and mm-hmm. I can relate to that. I mean, I had a need to be validated. There was a neediness that I was trying to have filled as well, and it mm-hmm. wasn't until after our divorce that I began to find that God is enough,
mm-hmm.
That I can rely on Him to come through for me, that I don't have to define myself by either the things that I'm doing or the relationship that I'm in, because truly, God's desire is for each individual to be desperate for Him.
Mm-hmm.
He did not create Eve for Adam so that he could step out of the picture and that Adam would no longer be in relationship with Him.
Exactly.
There's still, even as a couple, God's desire is for us to be desperate for Him as a Savior, because that's the truth, because only He can come through for us.
Mm-hmm.
Only our Father can come through for us and complete us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're never, and it's a definite cliche, but it is true that we can't be complete outside of what Christ can do for us and has done for us.
Well, and I think too, you know, we mentioned some of the movies that we were drawn, you know, that draw us in. And I think, obviously, I don't know that I would have loved all these movies maybe at 18 or 19, but what I love about, you know, the Braveheart and Man in the Iron Mask and just a lot of these movies, Last of the Mohicans, that draw me in is that I don't necessarily want to be rescued, you know, time and time again. I want to know that you're there, that we are mm-hmm. walking side by side, that we can lock arms and that we can make it through life, because we know that life is messy and that it can, you know, we can be hit with some hard blows over and over again, but that I know that you are alongside me.
Yeah.
And that's to me what is so important to me.
Sure. Okay. So expectation one, my spouse should complete me. I think we've covered that. Moving forward into another, I think, common expectation that mm-hmm. Individuals have going into marriage, that marriage should not be an ongoing struggle. It shouldn't be this hard. Maybe we can identify. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. We knew it wasn't going to be just all, you know, just roses and, you know, everything just unfolding with no struggle. But mm-hmm. this much struggle. And I think we arrive at a place when it's continual struggle. And if we're not careful, if we don't really go back and again challenge the presupposition, we can really get to a place of bitterness, you know, really, really fast.
Yeah, you know, I knew that marriage was not a cakewalk. You know, I would definitely say that I had a lot of expectations, basically because of what I saw growing up. You know, I think so many times what we hear, what we see, a lot of times our expectations can come out of that. And so I knew marriage was not going to be this perfect, peaceful, easy road, but I also didn't know that it would be super duper hard either.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of times how we handle conflict, that comes from, you know, even our childhood, watching how we see our parents relate, watching how we relate to our siblings and all that. But I think we do have this kind of illusion of what we think marriage is going to be. And when it's not, again, we're kind of, we've got this blow that we have to deal with, and we don't always know what to do with that.
Yeah, we have, I know for us, we didn't really know how to do conflict.
Mm-mm,
we didn't think as a Christian couple we were supposed to have conflict. Mm-mm. And so that was a big lie that we had bought into right out of the gate. And we had this honeymoon phase and everything's great and we're avoiding conflict. We're trying to keep the peace. But obviously we can't keep that up forever. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, I think couples finally realize that it is a struggle, sometimes, you know, it's hard then not to continue to kind of move down that path. Well, if I'll just now control him or her, mm-hmm. or if I'll begin to change him or her, mm-hmm. then it won't be a struggle anymore, because it's that person's, you know, maybe misconception, or they're doing something wrong. Let me just change them or fix them. And then when we see that doesn't work, mm-hmm. a lot of couples that we talk with, you know, they're at a place now, well, I just must have married the wrong person. You know, I just chose badly when it came to marriage, and now I'm kind of stuck, and now definitely some resentments, and that's a very bad place.
I would definitely say that. It's interesting. My daughter has some friends come in town this weekend, and we were talking a little bit about conflict, and we were really just talking about relationships and so on, and she was talking about some mutual friends that she had that were arguing and all that. And one of the things that she said was, I just completely shut down when somebody starts yelling or raising their voice. And what we don't know is that we enter into a relationship with people, and if we don't realize, one, how we do handle conflict or how we don't handle conflict, you know, that can be a real problem. I know for me, I didn't know I was allowed to have conflict. And, you know, what would you say for you when it came to conflict?
Oh, no, same place. I didn't know how to do it well. You know, I saw from my family of origin, you know, just kind of the shutdown and avoid, and I was very good at avoiding and kind of morph into this very passive, let me just keep the peace, rather than being someone who is resolving the conflict, which is really what we're called to do.
Yeah, I thought I could say something one time and then I couldn't say it again. So then I'd just get frustrated and frustrated and frustrated until maybe layer upon layer upon layer, then I'm going to kind of let it all out, you know, at one time. Let me just say everything I'm feeling at once, you know, not always taking in, not always really considering your feelings. Mm-hmm. But then we've got a real problem, because now I've pretty much let all the air out of your bag. But I do think kind of moving down the road, I know I was about 7 years into marriage with you, Trey, where I was like, really, is this all there is? You know, and you do begin that process of saying, one, if I could just change him, you know, mm-hmm. so then you start looking at books, or you start looking at marriage seminars, or, you know, whatever I can do to, okay, maybe I can make this work. Mm-hmm. Or you go all the way to the other side, you know, the pendulum swings to the other side, and you're like, okay, well, maybe I just married the wrong person.
Yeah.
You know, which is why Facebook today can be such a danger, because you think, oh, well, if I had just married my high school sweetheart, or if I just married so-and-so in college, and it begins this process of you delusionally thinking that that person's going to be perfect, and that can be a train wreck as well.
Yeah, and that's where you bring up Facebook and a lot of the social media. It's it's a great illustration of how it's really an unfair comparison, because now we're in a relationship, we're in close-knit community with this individual that is our spouse. We see the good, bad, and the ugly, and maybe if we're arrived at this place, it's more negative maybe than bad, because we see all their junk is right there blatantly in front of us, And then we get on Facebook and we see the pristine pictures and we see this and we remember times gone by, and it's just not a fair, because nobody's posting pictures of their bedhead,
right,
and the dirty clothes
in the morning.
Yeah, dirty clothes on the floor. And it's just an unfair comparison.
Absolutely.
And the enemy starts working with us that, you know, see, you chose wrongly.
Right.
And then obviously,
if you had just married here, you wouldn't be having any problems.
Absolutely. And so that's this expectation. It's got to be challenged, because the reality is marriage is a struggle.
Yes.
I mean, we are east of Eden. Mm-hmm. We are in a broken world, and mm-hmm. we have an enemy. And you think about just the sexual intimacy for a moment. If it is true that that is a depiction of God's desire for intimacy with us, that he has given us this gift, if that is true, does it not make sense that our enemy would be attacking in that very place, mm-hmm. That he would be attacking us relationally in marriage, you know, that family being the unit that God is so for, and it's how he has designed us. You know, obviously the enemy is going to be there. So to have this idea that marriage is not going to be hard, that it's not going to be a fight, we can't just show up and expect to have, you know, intimacy. It's going to mm-hmm. take work. It's going to take staying engaged. It's going to take really knowing, you know, our spouse, knowing ourselves, and really what's going on in those dynamics.
Well, I think too, just to be honest, you know, as we're looking at some of the things that we want to talk about, you know, I can always pull back and say, we are on the same page. We are wanting to say the same things. But I think sometimes even as you and I are dialoguing about what we want to say, I mean, it can be a place of tension, because we both, you know, are for the audience, we're for, you know, the subject matter that we're talking about. But even then, sometimes, you know, we can argue about, you know, what you want to say, what I want to say, you know, and all that. And I think that, again, sometimes that even can come back to an unrealistic expectation.
Sure.
But
absolutely,
just being able to boil it back and say, we are on the same page about this.
Yeah. All right. So expectation number three, our final one, we'll kind of jump into. My spouse needs to see the world exactly as I see it. Some of these kind of overlap a little bit, but having this expectation that the way we see the world around us is the only way to see it, and it's right, and it's our job to make sure our spouse mm-hmm. sees it this way, really can set us up for some danger moving forward. Because our worldview, and our view of everything around us is shaped really by our family of origin. And all of us have a different family of origin.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make one right and one wrong. I think there's a tension. We may say, yes, well, I know we're different, but mine's right and his is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's my job to kind of help him see, or help her see and understand, how theirs was flawed and mine is right. If they'll just come along and see things the way I see it, then we're going to be fine. And there's maybe where a lot of the conflict, you know, comes as far as fights and arguments.
Mm-hmm. And there's a movie a couple years ago about that, wasn't it? Called
Vantage
Point.
Yeah, Vantage Point. You know, and it's kind of that same way. We have these events in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We both have seen the event. We both were there when it happened. But so many fights, maybe, and arguments, if we are at the surface level, it's about mm-hmm. what happened, and we both saw it, and it can be so frustrating because we both are filtering those events through, you know, just the filter that we see the world with, which is different. And so I think just, you know, having an expectation, we're supposed to see things the same. I think having an understanding that we don't.
Right.
And last week we kind of teed up this idea of being a student of our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that implies that we're different.
Mm-hmm.
That implies if I've got to be a student of you, that means you see the world differently than I do. And it's going to take some effort on my part for me to understand your family of origin and the way that has shaped the way you see the world, because then I can have a better understanding of your perspective on certain things that maybe we both experienced.
Mm-hmm.
We both were there, but yet your take's a little bit different than mine.
Well, I think if you can step back and look at it, okay, there are things that I like about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are things that I know I need to improve on. And then there's some things that bug me about myself. You know, I wouldn't necessarily want two of me. And so when we are wanting our spouse to see things exactly as we see them, we have to realize, I just said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to see everything through the right lens, you know, 100% of the time. And the same with you. So we, you know, I think a lot of times we've just got to step back and realize that one of us is not necessarily right and one of us is not necessarily wrong, but we do have different vantage points that we see things. Both you and I parent a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Neither is right, neither is wrong, but just being able to accept that about the other person and enjoy that about the other person instead of always trying to change that about the other person.
But I think so many couples, and definitely where we were and the couples that we're working with, there seems to be this tit for tat conflict going on. Somebody's got to be right.
Right.
And so there's this underlying, and we're afraid to give an inch because that may mean that he or she is right on that particular, you know, point. And so if we can just, you know, get rid of that tit for tat, you know, perspective, because it's not a gospel perspective at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the gospel frees us to see ourselves as we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of this. And you kind of touched on this, is that in our relationships, if we can be free to be a student of ourselves, not just be a student of our spouse,
mm-hmm.
but a big part of that too is, am I being a student of myself? Am I understanding my own family of origin? Am I understanding the way I see the world? And maybe the way some of that is skewed a little bit based on my past, based on, you know, the things that have happened to me, things that I've been, you know, different things that have taken place that were less than desirable, that have all together shaped, you know, my view of the world around me. That's my reality, but that doesn't mean that it's right.
Right.
And so that I can now be free to journey into my own stuff and say, you know what, some of this may be right, some of it may not be, but I'm at least willing now to unpack that, because then what that does is gives our relationship more dimension, because now our communication is deeper because I have a deeper understanding of me. As I'm connecting the dots about me and what makes me tick and those deep desires of my heart, and now in vulnerability, I bring that to you. It's risky, but it also opens the door to potentially more intimacy as well, because I'm giving you nuggets of truth about me as I discover it. And I think we were for so long, and so many couples that we are involved with, it's easy to say, well, I'm done. I'm married now. There's no more work need to be done on me. Now it's all about the coupleship.
Yeah.
It's all about this relationship. And if there's any problem going on, you know, it's really not over here. I got it all together. So if that person will just make the changes, you know, we're good.
Well, one other thing I was going to mention, Trey, is that if you and I were having conflict early on, you know, I didn't really have anybody there to validate what I was thinking and what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not agreeing with me, then I'm just kind of in this no man's land. I need somebody to agree with me.
Okay.
And now I'm recognizing it's okay for us not to agree with each other. We respect each other. We love each other, but we're not going to agree. We don't have the same favorite colors. We don't always love the exact same things. And the more I'm comfortable with you not always agreeing with me, nor needing to be validated by everybody around me, then we can, you know, it's kind of like we agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You know, and we're okay with that.
Yeah, but getting to that impasse though, and if we're in this tit for tat place though, where so many couples are, that's hard, because we're at this impasse and we are bound and determined to prove that we're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes I know in our fights, and maybe others can relate to this too, we sometimes even forget what originally started the fight. Because we're so focused on being right.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm not going to give an inch because that means, you know, that she's got one up on me or something.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we could talk on and on and on about these things, but, you know, expectation number one that hopefully we've debunked today.
Yeah.
My spouse should complete me.
Yeah.
Number two, marriage should not be an ongoing struggle. Who said?
Yeah.
And then number three, my spouse needs to see the world exactly the way I see it. So hopefully mm-hmm. some of this helps, you know, maybe at least begin to crack the door open for a new way of approaching some of these basic expectations that many people have in their relationship, so that it can begin to bring maybe a new dimension to the relationship that you happen to be in.
Well, and maybe you've got some other unrealistic expectations. Start asking yourself those questions. Are these even realistic of what I'm asking of those people that are in relationship with me?
Yeah.
Take the time out, you know, just to ask yourself those questions. Because I think sometimes if we can step out of our scenario, our situation, and ask, is this even realistic of anybody? Sometimes we can you know, solve the problem ourselves.
Yeah. And no doubt there's some hurting people out there, and this has really struck a nerve. Maybe I just sense that maybe there's a person out there saying, well, you don't know who I'm married to, or you don't know what I am dealing with. And maybe we don't, but we'd love to talk more about that. We'd love to interact.
I've definitely been the woman that has said that before. I have been the one that said, if I had just married somebody else, or if I was just married to this person, sure. Or, you know, I've been at church and I've seen this, you know, husband who's taken such good care of his wife or whatever. I've said that before.
Yeah. So we'd love to interact maybe on Facebook, facebook.com/undone redone.
Yeah, we would love to hear a message from you, even if it's a private message. We'd love to hear what you have to comment or what you would love to say about the show.
And if you'd rather send an email, you don't feel quite safe enough with Facebook, Melody can be contacted at melody@undoneredone.com. You can send me an email at trailer@undoneredone.com as well. Mm-hmm. Also, we're on Twitter, as many of you are. I'm at TLovern, and that's Lovern is L-O-V as in Victor, V as in Victor, O-R-N. Melody is at MLovern on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you there as well. And just so you know, too, some of you may not be aware, we are a part of a company that has so much great programming. Mm-hmm. Big Brains Media does Absolutely. Such a fantastic job with so many great shows and very diverse shows as well. I encourage our listeners to go to bigbrainsmedia.com and check out the many different shows there. I know there's a great show on Alabama football. There's a show there on Auburn athletics and sports. There's two.
Eavesdrop.
Yeah, Eavesdrop, two great friends of ours that we've been a part of. But just some great content that some of you guys may want to check out. So, well, we're out of time today. Again, we could continue to talk on any number of these things and probably other expectations as well.
Yes,
if you've got an idea of a show that you want us to, maybe something flowing out of this that mm-hmm. you'd like to hear us talk more about, definitely ping us on Facebook and let us know. But until next time, I'm Trey Lovern.
And Melody Lovern.
And we are so glad you've joined us. Thanks, guys.